Hello friends, Ball Tales episode 4, A New Hope. My guest this week is Sarah Breeze. Breeze is tearing it up as a stand-up comedian, telling jokes in all sorts of places, from the Mach Comedy Festival to the Glee Club. She's going to be doing some gigs in Edinburgh very soon. There's really no stopping her. She's a bit good at this whole comedy game, and I was delighted to have her share some Pringles with me. Sarah Breeze.
Hello.
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 You're here to talk about football.
Apparently so.
Yeah, how's your day been?
It's been alright. It got really rainy, as you well know, when we sort of escaped the pub.
Yeah, I know exactly how your day's been. It's all artificial, this bit, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we do. Pretend. I don't understand. Cam, like, you know what my day's been. Like, you know that I'm sat here with crumbs from the toffee waffles we've just, like, stuffed our faces with moments before hitting the record button because we knew we had to last for the next however many minutes.
Yeah, but now the audience know that and it's great. We've shared.
I still got crumbs on me. I'm gonna.
Okay. Yeah. That's one for the.
Have we finished the Pringles?
Yeah, Pringles are done. It's just purely business now. We've had the fun. So I want to talk about football. I want to talk about not like current football, but sort of the football that turned you into the person you are today.
Thank God. I remember. Well, I know very little about current football because I've been out of touch, and I remember very little about what happened then. So this is going to be this kind of mythical football that never existed. So I hope you're expecting like rules that at some point during my history I've kind of invented.
Yeah.
Like memories of players who probably never existed. And they've drawn in crayon once and then just falsely remember that they might have actually been my friends. but we'll see.
We'll get onto them, I'm sure. There's a whole section on them.
Yeah, let's go on this journey together.
Yeah, no one else on the podcast had any answers. Like, what about those crayon footballers that you drew as friends? They're like, what? I was like, oh, I'll have to wait till Breeze comes on and she'll understand.
Oh, I hate that I'm that predictable that you knew that was coming. Of all the things.
Yeah,
Right.
Yeah,
I think it's very important for the audience to know at home that I've had a pair of football boots in this flat, which, by the way, we're not recording in this fancy studio, we're recording in a flat.
You've just broken all the magic immediately.
No more magic! I've had a pair of football boots in here, stuffed under the sofa for probably a year now.
Yeah, about a year.
Yeah, that we've been determined to go for a kickabout, and we have, well, failed to do in a long time.
Yeah, we don't have a football. I mean, that's been a big barrier.
Yeah.
That and the weather.
I mean, we've kicked other things for fun, but not a ball.
What else have we kicked for fun?
We kicked a polo on your birthday. We kicked mints across a bridge. I don't know why that happened, but that was some serious kicking.
Yeah, that's a hard in-joke to explain, considering I don't even know about it. I don't really understand it myself.
And I don't intend to, so good luck, listeners.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah, so while we leave that in-joke just lingering for people to enjoy.
But that's the thing, it sounds like an in-joke because it sounds like that there was something more to it. There literally wasn't. We saw a mint on the floor. We kicked it happily for the next 3 minutes. I guess that was us reliving football. And also,
I guess that was just a parallel for our careers in the game.
Yeah, and also it was a bit like, you know when you play table ice hockey and like that like flat disc thing and it pings off the side.
The puck, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a mint on a bridge. Mm-hmm. We laughed. It was great. Right, there we go. In joke explained. Isn't it funny enough?
It's hilarious. I mean, that's my most recent football memory, clearly.
Yeah, well, I guess it was.
Yeah.
There we go. It's all going to be gold on this podcast,
all
guys.
All gold all the time. When was your first team? What was your first getting into football memory? Do you remember any of this? That's a vague question.
Well, my first memory or my first team. Right. I reckon my first memory was, actually, no, I know what it was. My brother, right, I've got a brother who's 4 years older.
Yeah.
So that's at the age, I think that's the kind of age difference when you think everything that they do is really awesome. And so you kind of just go, oh, I'm going to do all of that, but, you know, worse. I think my earliest sort of memory was me trying on his football kit that he'd left around. And I think he supported Liverpool at the time.
Yeah.
I think that's it. So I've got this photo of me as like a 2-year-old wearing this enormous like Liverpool kit, which is really fun. So that would have, I guess that would have been the first thing. So I must have been running around and kicking something by that point. But yeah, so that was great. So I think I played kickabout with my brother. And then he played for a local town team. He played for Huntleth.
Okay,
which
so
is a real town.
Yeah, in Mid Wales.
It's a real town in Mid Wales. That's how you say it. And what was the name of the team? The name of the team was the Machantleth.
I'm glad you asked yourself.
Yeah, it was the Hurricanes. That was it. They were like they had like under.
It's a bit of a tongue twister.
Yeah, Machantleth Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's what they were called.
That would be dangerous to call an actual hurricane, because by the time you said it, you're in it. Like, there'd be no getting away from, yeah.
That's a very good point. And that was probably most of our defence against the opposite team, to be perfectly honest. I mean, we were not strong players, but at least we had our name.
Exactly, yeah. So... Quick, mark the McCunkful. Oh, no, they've scored. It's too late. The name's too long. Genius.
That's, yeah, there we go. That was tactical. So, I think they were my first team. They were... I think that they probably had like under sevens, under nines, or something like that.
Yeah. So this isn't a school team. This is like a local.
No, this is a town club. Was every Wednesday night. I used to go for footy practice and then games on a Saturday morning. So I clearly remember doing that, and it was a boys' team as well. Obviously. Oh, by the way, I'm a girl. I don't know if that's a
obvious
by this point.
Yeah, I mean that's the big, you know, that's the difference between you and the other guests. Yeah.
What am I supposed to say?
Yeah, 6 minutes in, we've blown it. Yeah.
She was a girl all along. Sorry if I tricked any of you guys. Yeah, no, it was the 90s. Wasn't really a girls' football kind of time, so I didn't really think too much about it. But I played on the boys' team. Well, on the team.
Exactly, yeah. It's not...
was known at the time. which was absolutely fine. Yeah.
Yeah, were you the only girl on the team?
I was the only girl on the team, and... I guess it does draw attention, like, to you quite a lot. You get kind of... I had, like, nicknames and things, but they were all, like, nice ones. Like, when people
that's
draw
weird.
Attention to it...
That's, like, overcompensating boys, that is.
No one has
nice nicknames.
Actually, do you know what? The nicknames were more likely from the parents and things, but it was more often than not. There was... Okay, so I supported Man United, and when I say supported, I mean I knew who all the players were and collected the stickers. That was specifically for 1995 to 1997. So that is a little snapshot into the only window I have of. In fact, I'm always really surprised now when I see anybody wearing kits that are not exactly the same.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That freaks me out when they don't have the same sponsor.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That makes me feel like really old and frightened. Like it's a weird parallel universe.
That it's not Sharp. Is that who it
was?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. See? Oh, you know. Well, who's it now? Is it another? Is it somebody else? I don't even know if Sharp exists. I mean,
I'm not even sure who it is now. I should know that. It's like, it was AIG, it was Vodafone. They've had a few, but yeah.
No, it'll all be Sharp. You always remember your first.
First corporate sponsorship. We always we'll remember it. This podcast is sponsored by Pringles.
Yeah, which we finished all of, by the way. So,
yeah. So please send us some more free ones.
Yeah, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Pretty sure they used to have the word goal on them, so they're sort of appropriate.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Mr. Pringle.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they can't see him. We're looking at him.
What the hell are we talking about?
We're talking about Vodafone.
Sponsors, kits. Oh yeah, so I was playing for a team. Yeah, so Man United, the reason I brought that up is because for a very short period of time, they had a player whose first name I don't remember or can't pronounce. I'm not going to tell you which. The second name was Poborski. And
Pavel?
Who knows? Something.
Yeah.
Are you looking him up?
No.
You totally are. Everyone, people at home, Cameron is typing into his computerington.
Oh, I think it was Carol Poborski.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Oh,
I think
well
so.
Well remembered.
Yeah.
Well remembered me, I suppose. Okay.
Yeah, 94,000 results. Yeah, I think it was Carol Poborski.
Okay,
yeah.
So he was. I mean, in the 90s, there wasn't that much variation in terms of hairstyles and beards in the same way. I don't think. No, because for some reason it was a big deal that he was a footballer with long hair. You know, nowadays that doesn't really seem like a big thing, but at the time he stood out, and so people like called me that for a while. So I've got this really weirdly specific snapshot in time where I've got like a 95 or 96 foot, like Man United. I think it wasn't even the away kit. I think I had the third kit. You know,
like the alternate one where
yeah,
that's
where you
weird.
Can't use either. And it
what
has
does
like
mean?
Poborski on the back. I don't know. It's like it's such a surreal. I don't know why I have that kit. That's really odd. Is that worth anything? No, probably absolutely nothing. But it was a very strange combination of things for me to have put together.
Yeah.
But I used to have that, so they called me that for a little bit. Actually, one thing that I discovered is that on the nicknames front, they didn't want to call me Sarah. Like that was a thing. I don't know. Maybe that gave it away to the other team too quickly. Because, you know, if you're shouting players' names on the pitch.
Oh, right, okay.
Maybe if they're shouting Sarah, they're probably thinking, well, there's obviously going to be that one. So very quickly, they just started calling me Breezy. Like, that was...
Right, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that's why. Maybe there was no logic to it. Maybe they just didn't really like the idea of referring to a girl on the pitch. I don't know.
That's strange, yeah. I never really thought about that.
That's when I started being called more by my surname than anything else. But then you do that anyway with boys and stuff. Like, a lot of boys would just shout their surnames across at each other, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So... Yeah, I don't know. I've always wondered, actually, about that. But no matter who I played for, even if I didn't tell them that I had a nickname or anything at all, they would very quickly start calling me Breeze or Breezy. So
I see. Well, Carol is sort of a girl's name, isn't it?
Carol Bavorsky. Is a girl's name.
So, like,
yeah,
maybe that was the logic.
That was
maybe
the
they
old
were
double bluff. I think.
Yeah.
What they were doing.
Maybe they were really overthinking it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It's all about psychological warfare. Undermining
this. You know. It is. It's a mind game. Minefields. Where did you play, like, position wise?
Oh, I played all over the place. Mm-hmm. I remember moving around a lot.
Where did you start on the pitch before you disobeyed the manager's rules? Yeah. Ran around to your heart's content.
I think one thing that I was always really good at, for those of you who can't see me, which hopefully is most of you, because this is an audio recording.
Yeah, there's no secret webcam in this flat anymore.
If you can see me, please, you know, make yourself known to me and the police.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I would have been about the same height as everyone else on the team. That was fine. Nowadays, I'm still the same height as I would have been when I was on the team. So maybe not so good. But I wasn't tiny and stuff at the time, but I used to be really good at tackling. Like, I was really, like, I would go in hard for tackles. And
yeah.
there was a proper slam sound. I did this again recently when I played against some comedy friends and stuff. And we went up and we played a community game. It was the first time.
Just with Dan Kiss of episode 2 fame.
Oh, the famous Dan Kiss, yes, of course. We went up to play a little friendly indoor match. And I remember going in and I absolutely slammed my way into a tackle that echoed around.
Yeah.
And we were
outside, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, that was just, I don't know, I guess I've just been fearless from, like, my kid days. I'd forgotten, actually, as well, while we were playing recently, that I am, you know, a half the size and probably a quarter of the weight of most of the other people on the bench. But for some reason, I still thought it was a good idea to slam my way in. And luckily, I think the shocked look on his face, just from the sound of the tackle,
meant
I was able to, pass it, do something, fall over, I can't remember. I did something after that, but not sure what it was exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so at the time, I was really good at tackling. So I think I remember playing defence a few times. My brother was in goal when he played, so I think they tried me in goal for a bit.
Yeah.
And I did have some fun in goal.
Yeah.
That was great. Like,
what sort of keeper were you? Like a were you diving about?
I did sort of dive about a bit. I mean, I can't really remember specific games all that much for when I was in goal, because I used to move around and I had, you know, different teams when I moved around position anyway.
Yeah.
There was one time, this was much, much later, when I would have been in my teens. I played for, it was like a town carnival kind of sports competition. So they had like a, I think it was a five-a-side. And also, this was a mixed gender thing. So it was the first time I'd ever played with any of the girls on the team.
Yeah.
And as far as I remember, I think there were about 3 boys and 2 girls on each team. And what happened was our team did really, really well. It was great. We got through like all the knockout stages. We got through to the final. We played through the final and it was a draw, went through sudden death, and we went to penalties. And on the penalties, because it was all mixed, like,
oh my gosh,
boys and
yeah.
girls, they didn't, you know, you couldn't choose when it was going, so they had to do like a random draw of who was going to shoot when and who was going to be in goal. And so everybody had to go in goal once, everyone had to shoot once, and you didn't know what was going to happen. And what happened was I went in goal for the very last penalty.
Oh my god.
When we'd been drawing all the way through these penalties, and it was just the most tense thing I think I've ever done. It wasn't full-size goals, it was sort of like, you know, yeah, because we were doing five-a-side, it was like smaller pitches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
that's all we're dealing with, though, on these podcasts. It's all about smaller pitches, smaller goals most of the time.
Oh, but yeah. It was so, like, we built up, we played an entire day's worth of games and stuff. This was the very end of the day, it's the final, everybody's watching. And I'm there in goal, and the guy who'd been drawn to do the penalty on the other side was, he was well over 6 foot in my head. I mean, in reality, who knows, he was probably, I don't know, very, very small. But this, because I was in my teens, I'd obviously stayed the same height, which is, to other people, they say 5 foot one. To me, I say it's 5 foot one and 3 quarters, so, you know. I was not anywhere near the size of this guy. So, yeah, he runs in, he takes a shot. I dive. I go the right way. I'm super stoked. I save the ball. Everyone is cheering. I'm still flying through the air. I smack headfirst into the post.
Oh, no.
Give myself concussion. But we won the tournament. So it was like the best day.
That's
like,
amazing.
Yeah, it was absolutely, it was like the best thing. I was so happy. It was, you know, everyone was celebrating and shouting and jumping, and I probably should have paid more attention to how dizzy I was. But I'm pretty sure I was just, I thought I was excited. But
this, must be what it feels like to win.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, that was a really good day.
Incredible.
So I remember that. Like, that was a day that stood out as being in goal and stuff. But the rest of the time, I think I could have pretty much run about anywhere, and I think they do that with kids teams anyway. They move you about, they'll try you in a few different places, but I wasn't as fast as a lot of the other ones, but I could boot it pretty hard and I could tackle pretty hard, so I think I usually stayed the back half. But
yeah, that's cool. Like, what, yeah, like being the only girl on the team, did, like, I don't know, did it feel like you were treated differently at all, or like how did it go down?
I was told not to take my shirt off at the end of a match. That was the only difference that I remember.
Yeah.
I used to not go into the changing room when they were changing, but I still go into the boys' changing room because that's where everyone was talking about stuff. So that was nice. I developed this tactic as well, which actually anyone like who's ever seen me in theatre or in a car or anything like that, I still use all the time, which is just changing my T-shirt in public. I can do this crazy fast. I put a new T-shirt on and whip the other T-shirt out from underneath. Like, I don't know, it looks like a magic trick and people have kind of commented on it, but it's just so second nature now. I love that was the thing that I was just doing all the time when you're swapping from kits and stuff.
Oh, I see. So you learned that in the...
Yeah. Oh, there was one other thing that I was really good at. In terms of positions, this is the only other thing that affected me in terms of where they put me. And this is, I think, why they moved me around a bit. And I think I ended up, like, midfield for a bit. I was really good at throw-ins for that team.
Oh, cool.
And I used to do throwing stuff in school anyway. Like, I did other sports here and there, not that we'd like to talk about those.
No. We've got plenty of other podcasts for that.
Exactly.
Stay tuned for lacrosse podcast.
I was really good at, like, throwing stuff anyway, so, you know, bits of cricket and various things. Then in high school I was doing things like discus and stuff. So I was really, really good at throwing for that age. And so whenever there was a throw-in, it was always me who would take it. Like, like non-stop. And the thing is, if there's another team, especially as you get older, if boys start to think, oh, the girl is, you know, maybe the weaker one of them or not as fast or strong, like, over and over again, we would totally catch the other team out because everyone would be lining up for throw-in. They would stand where they think I would be able to reach with a throw-in.
Yeah.
I would be able to, like, get it way over their heads and we'd have, like, a massive advantage. Obviously, this only really works for the first few times in a match.
Yeah.
But that's enough to get,
like, to get an edge. Yeah.
It makes a huge difference. So I think that was the only thing that made people look good. But that was so much fun, freaking people out. Because that's the best part, is when you do a throw-in, you throw it over their faces. You get to see the look on their faces
as they look
over their heads, and you just see how badly they've stretched it. And the panic when they know that the ball is already halfway towards their keeper. That's glorious.
Oh, that's a magic moment, like a little Rory Delap.
Yeah, but it was a magical moment that I could do every single game.
It was
lovely. It was nice being like a weird little, like a sneaky weapon.
Oh, that's great. Who would you say, like, out of, you know, who would you compare yourself to out of the top level players or just people in life, like as a footballer?
What, nowadays?
Well, it doesn't have to be nowadays. I mean, it could be, you know, when you, like Poborski, I guess, was what you were called, but that wasn't your sort of style.
I never paid any attention to what he was doing. I think the only players that I really noticed or we really talked about were like the big ones, the big personalities. So obviously Cantona was the big one. So yeah, I mean, but then the only thing that I was really conscious of was him flying into people's faces with
karate
the shoe
kick.
And
that
kind of stuff. So that's not really the stuff you want to take after. But like really the people that we kind of talked about, especially for the Man United team and stuff, like Ryan Giggs obviously was Welsh, and like that was the thing that everyone was proud of because occasionally he would be judging some competition or whatever. There was also a tournament.
He'd be judging a competition.
Well, I have a feeling that he was at something once, and so there was always that excitement of, oh, it's Ryan Giggs, he's around for this thing. I don't know, like it was.
This didn't happen for me. There wasn't just Ryan Giggs.
He didn't judge anything that I was at, but it was sort of like he's Welsh, so he could see you at any time. Do you know what I mean? You know when you kind of feel
not really. That's great.
I mean, well, no, it's not that he would necessarily, but you know when you feel like a celebrity is local. Do you know what I mean? You know, there's like a famous person who's from your hometown. And Wales kind of counts like as a hometown.
Yeah. Even though he's living in Manchester, yeah, it's probably the entire time.
Yeah, probably. Or it's just like somewhere else around the world. But you kind of feel that special kind of, oh, like somebody from where we're from is now doing like, you know, the coolest job in the world.
Right, yeah, yeah. I like that.
And yeah, I think you feel quite...
like he's a big agent or something. Yeah. He's just going to one day swoop in and be like,
exactly,
you're Welsh too.
Yeah, it's true. So I think that was always a thing. And also, actually the big one was Ian Rush. Because there was a football tournament in Aberystwyth every year. So he did the Ian Rush tournament. So there was always that kind of chance. And I'm pretty sure he was there. Would he call it the Ian Rush tournament if he didn't turn up? That seems really weird.
Yeah, that sort of thing happens. I went to like a soccer school, I think it was like Ian St John, that might have to research that. I think that's who it was, a former Liverpool player. And yeah, I didn't see him knocking about. It was in Swansea.
Well, that's true. I'm going to start putting my name on all kinds of things I'm not going to turn up
yeah,
to.
Yeah, the Sarah Breeze five-a-side tournament.
Yeah, well, not just that, but just, I don't know. Like, it doesn't have to just be football. Like, just playing more things.
Lampposts.
Yeah. Like, you know when you ring up, like, a pub or a restaurant and just reserve a table in your name? I might just start doing that just as a matter of course now.
Well, even if you're not going to go.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, yeah, she's not here, but don't worry, people do it with football tournaments all the time.
Because yeah, whoever does end up sitting at that table can, you know, be eating in my honour.
Okay, yeah,
why not?
I'm sure.
That's pretty much what Ian Rush would have done.
I'm sure that won't...
I think he turned up for that one, but, you know, to all those other people who do name things after themselves and then not turn up.
Yeah, I think it'd give receptionists a whole new level to think about. So if we're just going to make their days more interesting, it's probably worthwhile, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
it's a valuable use of our time.
That's great. I'm gonna get on to some of the quick fire questions I've been posing. They've been causing some quite heated debates, as the long-time listeners will know.
Does this involve any prior knowledge?
They're yes or no's. Half-time oranges.
Yes. Do I just have to say
or.
Yes? Can I? No, I want to say yes and I want to talk about it straight away.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Right, I wasn't allowed to have orange juice when I was growing up. It used to make me ill. I don't know, I think there was a thing.
Oh my God.
My mum stopped me having orange juice because I had an allergy to it or something.
Yeah.
And so people would turn up with half-time oranges. And obviously these are the most delicious and exciting things in the history of the universe. And like, I would have my face in that tub before anybody
tub.
Else.
It was in a tub.
You know, because they cut them up ready and they'd have like a little like Tupperware box with half-time oranges and stuff for all the kids to come
and you put your face in the
tub. Yeah, oh my God. Like when it was getting close to half-time, I was just like, my eye was on the sidelines. I was just waiting for that to go out. And I know, like it turned out that I wasn't as allergic to like fresh oranges as I was to orange juice, so it wasn't too bad. I don't think I had anything really bad consequences, but half-time oranges were the best thing because not only were they delicious, but I also knew I definitely wasn't allowed them.
Forbidden fruit.
Yeah,
literally.
Exactly,
yeah.
And they were brilliant. So whatever the other thing was, definitely no.
Well, the original question was just yes or no, but then in episode one of the podcast, James Dunn threw a curveball and suggested half-time Jaffa Cakes.
Who the hell does that?
Man United, apparently.
That's not a thing.
Apparently Man United's Rio Ferdinand has done it.
Why?
Energy? I don't know. I've yet to do the research. I'm just planning to like discover it week by week instead of doing actual research to find out why.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Jaffa Cakes, but I mean,
but
that
not,
sort of
not
goes
over
against...
half-time oranges.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of goes against the whole tradition of it, really. I don't know. No, makes me furious. What the hell?
Yeah, I think Dunn is the only one to back Jaffa Cakes so far.
Oh, that Dunn. Well, we'll have a word with him. That's absolutely ridiculous. It's not a thing. Stop it, everyone.
Not a thing.
Take your Jaffa Cakes and put them somewhere nice for after the match, I suppose.
That is the slogan for Jaffa Cakes everywhere. That's great. Do you wear your socks above or below the knee?
Ooh. Below, always, because it has to have that little fold down.
Yeah, little fold down, yeah.
What, so some people just not fold them down and just pull them all the way up both.
Yeah.
Pull them over the knee.
Thierry Henry.
What? This nonsense did not happen in the 90s. This is new and I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's a strange new world that we're inhabiting. Very much not in favour.
You're a traditionalist. Do you wear like black boots then? Nothing fancy?
Wait, hang on. Thierry Henry. Like, there's a French thing, isn't there? Because like, when I've been on holiday to France, they seem...
They're wearing socks. All of them.
But they seem
socks.
Way more keen on the whole pulling your socks over the bottom of your jogging bottoms as a fashion thing. I've seen that okay. a lot more. So, you know, France, you cannot be trusted with socks, apparently. So, Thierry Henry...
That's an outrageous opinion.
Yeah. Is that racist when you talk about socks? Who knows? I don't care.
I mean, it's in the podcast.
Any French people listening to this podcast?
That's definitely are. It's gone worldwide by now. It's episode 4. People are all over it.
Yeah. Like Thierry Henry's socks are over his knees.
I imagine he'll be listening. He's a friend of the show. Yeah. Do you remember, like, the coaches you played under? Like...
Do you know what? I really don't. The only thing that I do remember, because I know that they were all lovely, the only thing that I remember is the one who I had, I think, for under-9s, who had, like, a really wicked little moustache. He was, like, a blonde coach with this little bristly moustache.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I think that was brilliant. Like, you didn't get moustaches in the 90s. That was
just yeah, that's a throwback. He just thought, I'm going to be a football coach.
Yeah.
I'm going to grow a moustache.
That was it. But it was a blonde moustache. That's not... You don't was see
he,
that
did he have blonde hair?
Yeah, he did have blonde hair. Like, it wasn't okay, just, like,
that would have been odd. Yeah.
And, like, no hair or whatever. No, yeah, that is kind of the only thing I remember. But they were all super lovely, so I feel really bad that I don't know their names. So sorry if you're listening.
It's okay, we can cut this out. I mean, I won't, but we can. Like, yeah.
They were always, like, I don't know, I think I'm pretty sure they were always, like, the dad of somebody else who was in the team, though.
Yeah.
So that was sometimes a bit of a pain, because
yeah,
sometimes...
they're never good, are they?
Yeah, no. Or even if they are good or whatever, it just means you have to be really careful.
It's yeah, it's a bit, yeah, political, isn't it? It's a bit tainted.
Yeah,
you never know, like, yeah.
You can't moan about that kid. You can't really, you can't tackle him too hard. That was always a pain.
But, yeah. No trash talk. It's a waste, really. They're not...
Well, that's true, yeah. And you can't moan about what he's trying to get you to do if, you know, his kid is listening. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so sounds like you had a pretty good career, you know, winning that final of penalties, head against the post. So, like, what stopped you? Why aren't you now a professional footballer?
Well, do you know what? I was kicked off the team.
What?
I was kicked off the team, but not for anything that I'd done. When I got... So, I think I played for... I played for a couple of other teams afterwards. We moved. I went to a new school after a little while, so I played for a new team, which was in... like the Llanidloes, which is another real town, by the way. They had a town team, and I played for their under-11s. But when I got to, like, high school age, they had a word, and this hadn't ever really occurred to me, it hadn't come up before, but it turned out that the Severn Valley League wouldn't let girls play over the age of 11. So I went from being the captain of my team to not being allowed to play at all. Like, just...
That's crazy. Just because of...
Just because the league said that they couldn't do it. And this was kind of weird. They were starting to kind of have glimmers of it, but it was still before girls' teams existed.
Yeah.
So as far as I was concerned, there was either football or no football. It wasn't like I had a choice. It wasn't like I was playing for a boys' team, you know, instead of the girls' team. That wasn't even a thing.
Yeah, you had not just kicked off the team, but you had kicked
out of football entirely.
Kick Breeze out of football.
It wasn't that funny. It seemed really sad, but I became very angry and took up some kind of martial arts, I think, to get my rage out. So at some point I'll go and exact revenge.
But yeah. Still training. Still getting stronger.
Idea of a league that may or may not exist. I'll beat them up. I don't know. I'm not sure how I would solve that with any kind of violence. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So I had to start playing, which did suck. Although the team that I was not allowed to play for was such a rubbish team at the time. It didn't really matter. But we all had fun. Like, I remember there was a game that we drew, and it was our last game of the season once, and we'd just been losing spectacularly all season.
Yeah.
And we were so pleased, not only that we drew, but also that it was the end of that disastrous season. And it was, oh my God, it's one of those days when the pitch is just mud. There's no grass. Like, you know that there was grass there once upon a time, but
it does need
several decades of recovery. And we'd stomped about in this the whole time. We'd stayed relatively clean and dry because it was a pretty quiet match. But then by the end, the whistle blew and we were so pleased that we hadn't lost and it was the end of that season that we all ran off to the corner and we all Klinsmanned our way through the mud, completely coating ourselves so that our, you know, our yellow jerseys were entirely unrecognisable and then sort of stomped sheepishly off to our parents in the corner who were obviously baffled by this odd...
by this weird, like, orchestrated everyone together, flying south for the winter.
I mean, keep in mind, it's not a celebration. It's some kind of demonstration, or
like a dirty protest.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what it looked like. I mean, we were thrilled. My mum was not. I remember. I think she had to cover the car seats in bin bags. Is that anything that you ever experienced?
That is not. No, I can't say I have. That's this was just completely spontaneous relief at the season. It wasn't planned before, guys. At the end, let's all just slide on our faces in the mud.
I think the mud had just looked so appealing and we're in such high spirits, it just seemed the obvious answer.
The obvious. Don't know what the question is, but good God, this is the answer.
There was no question. That was great.
Oh, well, that's a good way to go, though. That's a nice way to, you know, sign off your football. Was that your last ever game?
Yeah, I don't think I knew it was my last ever game, but I guess.
Well, that's perfect as well. Like, that's great.
It would have been more perfect if I'd been allowed to play again like this.
Yes, that's true, and be able to make the big bucks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, there's professional footballers that have had worse careers than that. You know, they haven't got to go out in a sliding mud of glory.
Yeah, well, this is how I plan to quit all of my jobs. You
need to wait for that rainy day.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise you look silly.
it's pretty difficult, but it's hard to Klinsmann in an office.
That's
what I've discovered. You really gotta
Learn that the hard way. No, that's good. But the thing is, I'm now going to tell you the real reason why I've brought you here today. And the fact is, it might not be your last ever game. Because I'm building a team.
What?
That's what we're here to do. I'm building a team. Everyone that's come on so far is part of my team.
Hmm.
So far, it's going to be 11-a-side. We don't know what the formation is yet. But I just know where people want to play. And after a while, we'll work out where they're going to play. So far, we've got Dan Kiss from episode 2.
Hmm.
And Matt Trowe from episode 3 at centre-back.
Right.
And just in front of them, we've got little Jimmy Dunn in defensive midfield.
Mm.
Where does Sarah Breeze fit into this team?
So Dunn is in defence or midfield?
Sorry, defensive midfield. So he's sort of sitting the Andrea Pirlo role, he likes to put it. I mean, we'll see by the end whether he stays there.
It's interesting that nobody's gone striker or anything yet.
Nope, not yet. It's up for grabs.
Do you know what? I don't think that's where I'd have fun, though. I think I'd want to be... Do I want to be in defence or do I want to be in goal? I'm not naturally a keeper. I think I'm too small for the goals that you get.
It's going to be big goals, yeah.
I think I'd want to be in defence because I just want to...
Another defender, okay.
I think I want to just, you know, spend my days just slamming into people and doing massive throw-ins. I think that's where I'm happiest.
That's good. Yeah, if you're full-back, if you're left-back or right-back, you get to do throw-ins.
Yeah, I'm so bad at shooting as well. Like, I cannot score goals to save my life.
Why are you bad at shooting?
I don't know. I think it's because I overthink it. I get as far as the box and then I sort of... I don't know, I think I sort of panic. And
as if you're like worried about...
the keeper.
I thought you meant in like a sort of emotional way, like you'll get through on goal and be like, oh, but they won't like it if I score. What if they're upset afterwards? What if I ruin their nice day?
No, just purely... terrible skill. Like my passes and stuff are completely fine when I'm not thinking that there's a goal in front of me. And as soon as the goal gets there, it just could be any which way direction.
I don't know what's
going on.
Well, so we got Kiss at left centre-back and Trowe at right centre-back. So basically your decision is, do you want to play closer to Kiss or closer to Matt Trowe? Which side do you trust? Which side do you think you should be on, left-back or right-back? Left-back is next to Kiss, right-back is next to Trowe.
Oh, so what, do I have to choose? Do I have to be on one side or the other? I can't.
You can't be both, yeah.
Hold their hands.
No, they're the centre-backs at the moment. I mean, it might change, but... And if you want to do throw-ins, you've probably got to be on one of those sides.
I think I would probably prefer to be on the right.
Okay. I'm sure Kiss won't be offended by that at all.
I think that's a good idea. I think I'm better with my right foot, so I think that'd be easier.
Cool. That's a good call. And that should, you know, wrap it up nicely, except there's one more question.
What?
It's dramatic.
No.
I know. Who's going to be the captain of this team? And is it going to be you?
Yeah!
I mean, that's a good argument. Do you care to elaborate? At the moment, the captain is Matt Rowe.
What? What? Because he elected himself captain?
Everyone has had to argue each episode.
Wait, am I in his position as well?
You're next to him on the pitch, but he's centre back.
Mutiny.
Yeah. No, this is your chance to pitch why you should be captain instead of Matt Rowe. And instead of James Dunn and Dan Kiss as well. Why are you this? I mean, you've captained a team.
Can we all be captain?
That's not how it works, sadly.
Can I be super captain?
It's not Tinder.
I don't know. I don't have a good reason for being captain except that I want to. And maybe if I want it more, maybe I'll show. I don't know. Do you know what? My voice would stand out on a pitch if I'm going to shout stuff.
That's true.
Like, it's going to sound different if I'm the only girl on the team, which I am so far.
So far?
So far.
So far.
So far.
We haven't said so good yet. So far. So far.
I reckon I'd have a lovely time being captain. I think I'd do all sorts of things. I think I'd bring the oranges.
You bring the oranges?
I would. I'd bring the oranges. That's not a captain's job. I just think I would happily take it on.
Oh, wow.
I'm bidding my way up now.
So captain and admin.
Yeah, I'd also like to be in charge of the flags. I feel like corner flags are a really good opportunity and they get wasted with some really boring designs. I mean, I'm pretty up on heraldry and I think we could be doing some really interesting stuff with these flags.
Well, you actually designed the logo for this podcast, didn't you?
I totally did in the future. That's not happened yet, but will have done before the... So it's time travel, guys.
Yeah.
I will do that. And so you'll get an idea of what kinds of insignia we could have on our very exciting corner flags.
Yeah.
Can I be linesman?
No. We did so far. We got so far without you being linesman. You try to sneak it in at the end. No, yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe if we have too many players, but no, I think you deserve your place in this team by the sounds of it. And so far, no one has argued for the captaincy offering better insignia. So, as far as I'm concerned, congratulations,
Hooray!
Captain of the team,
we're
Sarah Breeze.
Hands. That just happened.
That's
amazing.
For anyone, can't see us.
I'll start sewing my own armband immediately.
Excellent, that's good. Good work. Yeah, so thanks for coming on. And well done, you're the captain.
Oh, are we done now?
We're done.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fine. Bye, everyone.
That was the very silly Sarah Breeze. Thanks for listening, guys. Just a heads up that if you like, you can leave a review for Ball Tales on iTunes, of all places. You just pop your opinions out there on the web, give us a rating, and there you go. Maybe someone will see your review, you know. Maybe you'll be picked up to review other things. Maybe you'll get successful, you know. Maybe you'll start prioritising your reviewing over your job, over your family. Maybe it'll become an obsession that takes over your life, ravages you, and leaves you with nothing to show for it. I cannot legislate for that happening, and I'm sorry for the two people who have contacted me saying that that has happened. Next week's episode, let's just say it's a special one. We've got the notorious Matt Lee on the show. I wouldn't miss it. See you then.